Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors. Dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Tom Hunt was born and raised in Washington, Iowa, just about 30 miles south of Iowa City. He's been a printer salesman, a hospital administrator, and is an advertising copywriter, but he's also now a published author. His debut novel is called Killer Choice. It's a thriller that also explores how our own morals can be called into question and compromised. The main character, Gary, and his wife, Beth, start off the book getting some bad news. They find out that Beth has a very aggressive cancerous brain tumor. There's an experimental treatment that might help, but it costs more money than they have. Then a mysterious person comes to Gary and says he'll give him all the money he needs, but he wants something in return. He wants Gary to kill someone. To further complicate things, Beth is also pregnant with their first child. Hunt's book tour had two Iowa stops last week. Iowa Public Radio's Ben Stanton caught up with him in his hometown at the Washington Public Library.
Tom Hunt, thanks so much for being here.
Yes, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Talk a little bit about growing up in Iowa, and you did spend a lot of time at the Washington Library. What was your relationship with reading and writing as a kid?
Yeah, as you mentioned, I pretty much lived at the library here in Washington when I was growing up. I always used to love reading the Hardy Boys books. They had a whole collection of at least 100 of them, and I was really involved in the summer reading programs that they put on every year when school was out, and just really kind of fell in love with reading those Hardy Boys books. And then even into, you know, high school and college, I went to college at Iowa as well. And I've just always enjoyed reading. It's just something I've enjoyed, you know, doing in my free time. And it's, you know, it's certainly exciting to finally have a book of my own now.
Okay, why don't we start by reading and maybe at the very beginning of the book.
Absolutely, that sounds great. So this is the opening chapter of the book from the very start. 20 minutes after receiving the worst phone call of his life, Gary Foster pulled his Corolla into the parking lot of McCann Medical Center. He followed the signs directing him to the emergency room and came to a stop in an open stall, slamming on the brakes hard enough to momentarily lock his seatbelt. He turned off the car, threw open the car door, sprinted to the ER entrance. Inside, three women in green scrubs stood behind the check-in counter. Gary stared at them for a moment, heart thundering in his chest, every muscle in his 39-year-old body tight with tension. "Someone just called me about my wife," he said. The oldest of the group, a woman with cropped black hair who looked to be in her 50s, stepped out from behind the counter. She asked for Gary's name, then identified herself as Abby Fredrickson, the caller. Gary followed her to an empty nearby waiting area and sat down next to her. "Right now we don't know much more than what I told you on the phone," Abby said. She lightly touched Gary's knee. "Your wife was at Town Shopping Mall. Apparently she just collapsed and started convulsing. Someone called 911 and she was brought here by an ambulance. She was conscious when she arrived, and she's undergoing tests right now." Gary slowly shook his head. Not even half an hour ago, he'd received the call. He'd been working at the outdoor clothing retailer he owned with his brother Rod. Just a normal afternoon at the store, spent putting away inventory and helping the occasional customer, when his cell phone rang, displaying a local 989 Michigan number, one he didn't recognize. Pure terror had settled over him like a suffocating blanket as he listened to the story of his wife, Beth's, sudden collapse. After the call, he drove straight to McCann Medical Center.
That's Tom Hunt reading from his new novel, Killer Choice. And so as the story picks up from there, Gary and his wife, Beth, find out that she has a very aggressive form of brain cancer. They have to decide how to handle the news of that cancer. They decide they have to raise some money for a possible treatment that could help. They don't have enough money. They've made phone calls. They've started something like a Kickstarter campaign. So from there, a mysterious person arrives that tells Gary that he can help him. What does Gary have to struggle with at that point?
He just pretty much has to struggle with the idea of whether he can end someone's life to save his wife's life. What happens is they've encountered endless dead ends, and the situation pretty much seems hopeless. It seems like that you're going to lose Beth and there's nothing they can do. And then right at that moment, kind of like this mysterious guy approaches Gary and says, well, I'll give you all the money you need, all $200,000. But in exchange, I want you to murder this person for me. And he hands him the name of someone. And he says, I'll call in 2 days for your answer. And then so Gary has that 2 days where he just really struggles with the decision of what he's going to do. And, you know, the situation he's faced with is basically an eye for an eye. End one life and you'll save another life, which is your wife. And, you know, Gary is the type of character who's just a really regular, normal, everyday type guy. And this is the type of situation where he's just totally out of his element and totally unprepared for. And it's a real struggle for him to decide what to do.
Well, and Gary doesn't seem to be a religious person, although at the beginning he does have a short prayer as he's waiting to hear what turns out to be very bad news. Later, both Gary and Beth talk about getting financial help from a local church, but they're not really part of that church. So during this time, where is Gary looking for that moral guidance that can help him to make that decision?
Well, really, he's just looking to himself. You know, he doesn't really tell anyone about the offer. There's not anyone who he doesn't even discuss it with his wife, Beth. He just pretty much internally debates with himself and tries to come to a decision on his own. He doesn't involve his wife or anybody else who's close to him. And I enjoyed writing those parts a lot as I was writing it. I thought it was, you know, just a lot of fun kind of exploring a character who really is just faced with such a horrible, horrible decision.
Well, I'm glad to know that the author enjoyed those parts, but the character himself does not seem to be enjoying it at all and struggles every step of the way. And apart from this big decision about whether he would kill someone or not, there's all sorts of other decisions he has to make, and some are okay and some are bad. And so he seems to be struggling very much.
Yeah, that's one thing I like about the book, is it just kind of, like a lot of thrillers, it starts in one area and then everything just kind of spirals out of control. And, you know, this one decision that Gary faces, it's the least of his problems, because as the book goes along, really has to ask himself just how far he's willing to go.
And as part of that, this character Gary says he doesn't think, well, he realizes that it's not just about saving Beth, he's saving himself. I mean, he's looking at his own life. He's looking at that despair, that loneliness of losing the person he loves. And as we mentioned, his wife is pregnant with their first child, and that was a really something they struggled with for years, hoping to have children, and then finally that did happen. So, how is it about him? What does he talk more about? How he views himself in this situation?
Yeah, it's a great question. They are college sweethearts. They've been married for, I think it's 15 years in the book. And, you know, once you're with someone for that long of a period of time, it's like you can't even imagine your life without them. And they've always wanted a child, and they've always tried for a child and never really had much luck. And now she is finally pregnant. So they're just really, you know, kind of getting ready to begin this new chapter of their life. And then when that happens, that's when kind of this whole situation occurs. And, you know, it's a real struggle for Gary, just because he looks at what his life would be like if he did lose Beth, who was the love of his life. And he just thinks of how, you know, how lonely he would be and how sad he would be. And you're right, it is kind of about not just saving his wife, but also saving his own life, because he doesn't want to, you know, face that despair.
At the same time, and not that choosing to kill someone is a simple decision, but it's not as simple as that. And on one hand, that he doesn't know if he's exchanging one life for another for sure, because this treatment is given something like a 40% chance of working, which if you're facing the end of your life, might sound like pretty good odds. Yeah. And so that does encourage them. But it's not as simple as one life and another life. There's a lot of things up in the air.
Yeah, it's... As we progress through the book, one thing you do learn is that this offer that he's faced with, it might not quite be as it seemed, and there might be a few more kind of layers and surprises in store for Gary. And that's one thing I like about the book, is just kind of, you know, at face value, there's a few things that might be, you know, a bit of a surprise.
We're talking with Iowa native Tom Hunt. His debut novel, Killer Choice, has been published, and he's on a book tour promoting that book. We're joining him with this conversation at the Washington, Iowa Public Library. This is Talk of Iowa. Well, as we mentioned before, Gary does have a brother, Rod, and they have started an outdoor clothing apparel store, and they've been building that, and that has been its own struggle. His brother, Rod, has had a different life than Gary. He is what is sort of described as a kind of a screw-up. He's made some of his own maybe poor decisions over his life, or at least different than Gary's, that has led to some difficulty in his life. But they've teamed up in this business endeavor. How does he kind of play to the balance of who Gary is and the kind of decision that Gary has to make?
Yeah, Rod is definitely a total opposite of Gary as far as a character goes. Gary's very straight-laced, very by the book, and Rod is pretty much the total opposite of that. And I don't know, I just kind of liked having the difference in their personalities. And I mean, the one thing I do like about Rod, his brother, is he's kind of like a funnier character, maybe providing a little comic relief throughout the book. As far as the book, it's kind of about like a very down and sad topic, but I didn't want it to be like some super sad book that's very depressing and is a real struggle to get through. I wanted it to really zip along and just be an enjoyable read. And so one of the ways I tried to do that, at least, was just having, you know, Rod as a character to kind of move everything along.
Well, it occurs to me, and we were talking with you after you've had an event here at the Washington, Iowa Library, and hearing you speak and then hearing people that are from the community that have known you your whole life and talking about you, clearly you're a friendly person. You are funny yourself and had a great rapport with the group that was here. And yes, there are some lighter moments in the book, but it's not a funny book. And there are some dark moments, and there's so much internal struggle. And so connect those two things for me a little bit more about your personality and then kind of the, again, not so funny style of the book.
Yeah, well, they always say that about like thriller writers and horror writers, is that they're all very nice people because they get all of the bad stuff out when they write. And I've always heard that, actually, and I've actually had a lot of people tell me that, you know, you go to, like, conventions with, like, thriller writers there, and you're surprised at just how nice they all are.
We talked about the Gary and Rod as brothers and their different personalities. So which of those personalities best more closely resembles you?
I would say maybe a little both. Yeah, it's like I do like to kind of think of myself as a Rod, though. More of like a fun, lively, popular guy.
Well, and in your day job and your career has led you to be in advertising, copywriting by day. So and your writing in this book is, I would say, crisp. And as you were talking about, the pace does move along and propel the storyline. So are we hearing your experience in advertising coming through in that writing?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly, you know, when it comes to advertising, most people don't like advertising, and they don't like to, you know, read it or anything like that. And
even yours?
Even mine, unfortunately. And, you know, it's always like with advertising, you just have to be very direct and crisp and clear with your writing and just get your point across and hope that it resonated. You know, usually you only have a second or two to grab their attention. And I think it's very true, you know, that's very true for thriller novels as well, is the best type of books are the ones that really get straight to the point, they really hold your attention. You know, there's no extra words or extra chapters or parts that, you know, kind of slog or don't really hold your attention. It's always just very direct, crisp, clean writing. It's, you know, advertising is the same way.
Well, you were born and raised in Washington, Iowa. You live and work in New York now. Your online bio does mention that you're from a small town in Iowa. Do you think that fact influences the way people receive your writing?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't really think so. I think with writing, it really just always boils down to the book. And I think most people don't really care about like the background of the writer or, you know, who they are or anything like that. I think that's kind of the cool thing about, you know, a novel and the book industry is it really is just kind of, you know, even just breaking into it. It's not about like who you know. It's just about how good your book is. It's not about having connections really. It's just about the quality of the book. And I think that's kind of cool. I think the industry's kind of unique a little bit in that sense. So,
what's your writing process and how do you on a daily basis ensure that you can be creative in the way that you want to be?
Well, some days it's a real struggle. I mean, some days are great. Some days it's a struggle. And I think really the simplest way to put it is when the good days come, get as much done as you can. And when the bad days come, just kind of buckle down and force yourself to get through it.
Well, and this is a thriller. And so the ending is very important. A lot of details we can't talk about on this interview, but I do understand that because endings are important, they can change over the course of writing a novel like this too. How do you handle that and how do you ensure that you make the right decision so that it's the right ending?
Yeah, the ending is something I really struggled with. We went through about 3 or 4 different endings on this one, and I think we landed on a really good one. It's always kind of nice to hold a few surprises back maybe for the ending. And yeah, endings, I mean, a lot of writers really struggle with endings. I don't know. It's hopefully I got it right.
Well, Tom Hunt, thank you so much for talking with me today. Congratulations on the book, and thank you for talking to us.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Iowa Public Radio's Ben Stanton talking with Tom Hunt. His debut novel is Killer Choice. Talk of Iowa is produced at Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe.